Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Touching the Hem of Jesus' Robe. Based on Luke 8, hear those words of God again. And Jesus returned. The people welcomed him. They'd been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet, began to beg him to come to his house. He had an only daughter, about 12, and she was dying. But as Jesus went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a bleeding disorder for 12 years and could not be healed by anybody, came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus said, "Someone touched me." Peter said, "Master, the crowds are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I'm aware that power has gone out of me." And the woman saw that she had not escaped notice. She came trembling and she fell before Jesus and declared in the presence of all the people the reason she touched him, how she had been healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I invite you now to follow your sermon outline as we consider our theme, touching the hem of Jesus' robe. Who do you say Jesus is? That was a question on the tips of the tongues of the disciples and many other people who saw him in action. Just earlier in Luke chapter 8, in verse 22, Jesus is in a boat with his disciples and the winds and the waves are fierce. Jesus calms the winds and the wave, and the disciples ask out loud, "Who is this?" Yet even the winds and the waves obey him. Later in the same chapter, in verse 27, Jesus encounters a demon-possessed man, a satanic superman, too strong to be shackled by irons and fetters. Yet Jesus rebukes the demons, sends them into a group of kamikaze pigs who hurl themselves over a cliff. And the people say, "Who is this?" That even the demons obey him. And now in verse 40 of today's text, we read that the crowds were eagerly awaiting Jesus. Of course they were. Here's one who controls nature and controls demons. And the crowds wonder, who is this man that acts more like God than man? Today's text from Luke 8, we're told that a man named Jairus has a daughter. She's just 12 years old and she's dying. Jairus was a very important man. He was a leader of the synagogue, sort of a combination of head usher and worship leader. He was the one who told people where to sit and where to stand. He was the one who told people when to sit and where to stand. He wasn't the one that told people when to enter and when to exit the synagogue. It was a very dignified position, a position of power and authority. But on this day, it's this important man, Jairus, who's on his hands and his knees, bowed before Jesus. And as Jesus was on his way to Jairus' home to deal with this dying 12-year-old girl, a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came next to him in the crowd. Now, we don't know what kind of bleeding disorder the woman had, but probably it had something to do with what women have to deal with on a monthly basis. But this woman, the scripture says, had nonstop bleeding 12 years. According to Leviticus chapter 15, this condition made her ceremonially unclean, and notice, for 12 years. This means she hadn't been to worship in a public place in 624 weeks. She hadn't felt the touch of a man in over a decade. She couldn't even go shopping with her girlfriends because she was considered a social outcast. In the Gospel of Mark, we're told that she spent all the money she had trying to get well, but gotten worse. She had no BC health care. There was no supplemental insurance to cover a pre-existing condition. Just imagine her struggles daily with hygiene. Just imagine her embarrassment. Just imagine having to go to the washroom 20 times every day. She was a nobody. The crowds thought so. The disciples thought so. She probably even thought it to be true. And in the midst of all the crowds pressing around Jesus, she did the only thing she could do. She touched the hem of Jesus' robe. And here again what Jesus says in verse 46, "Somebody touch me." "But Lord," Peter said, "everybody in this crowd is touching you." "No, Simon, listen carefully. Someone touched me." Jesus called a nobody a somebody. Isn't that the way of our Lord Jesus? He has a way of stopping for nobodies. For those who everybody else considers to be nobody, lepers, tax collectors, prostitutes, you remember, he was on his way to the house of a very important man in the community. The doctor was on his way to treat a terminal disease, but he stops the trip to treat someone with a nagging illness. Today, we'd call that malpractice. But Jesus stopped for the nobody. He stopped for this woman. What was her name, by the way? There's no name listed. Jairus had a daughter. Jesus stopped for this woman, even without a name. Now, this woman had a superstitious sort of faith. In that day that Jesus lived, many people thought that healing could come simply by touching something important or precious. We find this in Mark chapter 3, when the crowds touched Jesus. We find it in Acts chapter 19, when people were eager to come into contact with the handkerchiefs and aprons of the holy apostles. This was the kind of superstitious faith that foreshadowed the church in the Middle Ages, when religious pilgrims traveled hundreds of miles just to touch icons and holy relics. We even hear it today on television. It sounds like this: "Send our ministry $20 and we'll send you this holy prayer handkerchief that guarantees your prosperity and your healing." Nevertheless, this woman in our text from Luke chapter 8, can you hear her talking to herself? Can you hear her whispering to herself, "At last, here is one who can heal me. I know I am unclean. I know I am unworthy. But if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' robe, I know he'll love me." And suddenly, a nobody, out of nowhere, touches the hem of the garment of God. 12 long years of bleeding stopped in a heartbeat. And Jesus said, did you hear what he said to her? He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the only place in the entire New Testament where Jesus calls a woman daughter. And she goes from becoming a nobody to being a somebody, to being a daughter, to being a child of God. This is Jesus talking. God in human flesh, who curls constellations with his biceps, who swirls galaxies with his triceps, who throws Saturn's rings like frisbees. This Almighty God in human flesh stops for this woman. He stoops down to her level. He heals her disease. He adopts her into her heavenly home by calling her daughter, a loving term she'd never heard. My friends, maybe this morning you're sitting here today and you know what it's like to bleed with this woman. You know what it's like to feel like you have no hope and to feel like you're a nobody. You know when your dreams did not come true. You know when love for you is scarce and you feel at times like your faith is dried up. You know when your tears have flowed and life has hit you hard. Dear people, whatever your bleeding disorder, whatever your problem is, Almighty God has a word of encouragement meant just for you this morning. His grace is always sufficient for your needs. St. Paul writes, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Strange thing about this life we live. God can use suffering to draw us into his holy presence. He can work in our difficulties to strengthen us and our faith. It's often in the darkness, in the valley, in the place where we see through human eyes nothing but gloom and a 12-year bleeding disorder that Jesus Christ comes to shine the brightest. By the way, did you know that our Lord Jesus suffered from a bleeding disorder? Oh, yes, he did. Because it was a gory, bloody reality. When God the Father crushed his only Son for your sin and for mine. In the Garden of Gethsemane and on the way to the cross, the Father bent down to the Son and it was as if it were a whip in the Father's hand. And for Jesus, great sweats of blood dropped. And Jesus was beaten and bloodied by sinful men. He was mocked and he was ridiculed. He was hit in the face. He was kicked to the ground. He was nailed to a cross to pay for your sins as his precious blood dripped to the ground. And his lifeless body was put into a tomb. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. On the third day, the Father said, arise, my beloved. On the third day, the Father said to Jesus what Jesus said to Jairus' daughter. Dear one, it's time to rise from death. Jesus Christ was raised to life and death was laid to rest. Hear that again. Jesus Christ was raised to life and death was laid to rest. And that's why you and I can sing a verse like this. That you can bet your bananas or whatever you want to bet we're going to sing on Easter Sunday morning. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Do you want to hear the rest of it? See you on Easter. Now I know what the old Russian communist Karl Marx once said. Marx said, Christianity is just a crutch for the weak. But let me tell you today that Jesus Christ is much more than our crutch. He is our very life. Without him, you would die forever. Without him, you would perish eternally. Without him, you and I would just be grass for the mower. But he lives. And because he lives, we too shall live. while on sabbatical, I was praying for you. I was praying for four particular families in our congregation when I thought of four dear saints of God the Lord has taken to Himself. I had in my heart and mind Harold Boucher. I had in my heart and my mind Evelyn Tweedy. Ron Adams, who sat right there. Pearl Garland right here. Because He lives, we shall live also. Victorious over the struggles in this short earthly life, and victorious over that enemy death forever. We're going to come back now to the opening question of our sermon. Who do you say Jesus is? He's a prophet, but He's more than a prophet. He's the living Word of God. He's a priest, but He's more than a priest. He's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He's a king, but more than any earthly king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who's at whose name one day every knee shall bow. He is Lord over nature, the winds and the seas, Lord over demons, Lord over sickness, Lord over death. My dear friends, please be encouraged this morning. Jesus, the Lord of all, exchanged His sinlessness for your sin. He takes your grime and gives you grace. He takes your filth and gives you faith. He gave the woman with a bleeding disorder both healing and a brand new life. He made a somebody out of a nobody. And today, like that woman of old, we not only hold on to the hem of Jesus' garment, but far more important than that, we are held. You are held. In His strong arms. Forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen.